Praise the Lord for what he's accomplished already this morning. And I trust he'll continue to accomplish his work through his word this morning. And he has promised that his word will not return void unto him, but as he sends it forth, even as the rain, it will bring forth fruit. It will accomplish that which it's set out for. So I pray as we consider the scriptures this morning, if we could be turning to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, please. That as we look at these scriptures, that we would see ourselves as the ones the Lord Jesus is speaking to. Yes, he spoke these words because seeing the multitudes, we read that he went up on a mountain. And when he, the Lord Jesus Christ, was seated, his disciples came to him and he opened his mouth and he taught them. And this morning, I want to consider a fourth message on the Beatitudes. Actually, Matthew 5, 13 to 16 is also known as the Similitudes. And I pray that we would test ourselves in the light of these verses. That we would be true light, would be true salt, that we would be true Christians in an evil and adulterous generation. Let's pray and ask the Lord's help. Lord Jesus, we come before you now to a time where we hear from your word. And Lord, I thank you for the inspired word of God, that it was not penned down by the thought and imagination of men, but it was given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and men penned the words as they heard from the Holy Ghost. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we don't need to take away or add anything to this scripture. I thank you that it's all sufficient. I thank you this morning, Lord, that it is life-changing and it is enough for us. Lord, I pray that our hearts might be in tune to your word. Minister, Lord, through your Spirit, as only you can do, and help me to be clear, I pray in this pulpit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just a little while ago, I preached a message on the persecuted church, and this stemmed from the verses preceding our Bible reading, which is, blessed are they when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you. And I wanted to, I guess, in that message, look at the blessing of those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake and consider the church today in lands where there is persecution, and to understand the fervor of those Christians, how they are ready to die for the Lord Jesus, how they are ready to suffer for him. And really, that is the beginning of a Christian experience and a Christian walk, is death to self. When you die to yourself, when you die, you reach the beginning of God. So when your old man dies, when your old life, your old desires, your old lusts, your old passions, your old thought life, when all those things come under subjection to Christ and his cross, you become a new creation, a new creature. The Bible says, all things have passed away. Behold, I make all things new. He doesn't add on and tack on to our old fleshly life. No, he puts that to death. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He crucifies it. He puts it to death. And he brings to life a new man. And in verse 13, so on the back of that scripture, on the back of understanding persecution, on the back of understanding this death to self, Jesus turns and he says in verse 13, this is the verse I really want to focus on this morning. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt, he says. He declares it. True Christians are the salt of the earth. True disciples are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and be trampled underfoot by men. Friends, salt is life-changing. Salt changes the essence of your being. When you are born again, when you are a new creation, God does not tack on something to your old man. We must understand this, because most of religion and improvement and self-esteem and self-improvement and seven steps to a better you is about tacking on some measure of goodness or good works onto a corrupt old man. That's not the scripture. That's not the gospel. There must be a death. And then Jesus declares, you are something new. You are salt. Salt is pure. Salt is a very concentrated, powerful, dynamic substance. Salt is very pure. It's the very powerful change of being. Salt counters corruption and decay. It brings life. Salt preserves freshness and goodness. So then everyone who is called by the name of Christ, if you are in Christ and a new creature, a new creation, you are one who is called born again, who is saved, you are declared as salt. And you have been set apart. You're different. You're different. You're set apart for Christ. You're holy. You're not an old man plus something. You're a new creation. And that's where I want to start. Jesus declares, you are the salt of the earth. So I'd like to make some statements about this verse. Five statements about Matthew 5:13. Number one, God calls us the true salt. And I've been alluding to that already. You know, we have to understand also the historical context of this verse. We're in a time when the Romans, they traded in salt. I think there's an old saying, are you worth your salt? A little bit before my time, that saying, but I understand that's a saying. Are you worth your salt? The Romans traded in salt, so it was a genuine and a precious commodity. It was valuable. We know in Old Testament times they traded in oil, and then they traded, obviously, in coin, but they traded in salt. It might seem strange for us today, but let's understand the historical connection as well. It's a valuable commodity. So Jesus is saying to a people that understands salt to be precious and worth trading in, he says, you are valuable. You are salt. Jesus is saying he has chosen us, we who are the foolish. We are the base things, the low things of this world. He chooses us to confound the wise. If you are his, if you are saved, he declares you his salt. He sets his seal of the Holy Ghost upon you and says you are salt. You are that dynamic substance that I have put into the world. You are the salt of the earth. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're set apart for me. You're holy. And you're precious. You're precious in my sight. You're of value. How much more value are you to me than the sparrows? You are of value to God. We who are called by his name are a dynamic and holy church set apart for him. Now, dynamic doesn't mean you have to jump up and down, clap and jump over the pews to show yourself to be saved, but dynamic means you have true life in you. You have true life. And you know it's real. You know that you have become something that was once corrupt, that is now pure and true. Something that is concentrated. Now notice when Jesus declares us to be salt, and he makes us conformable to the image of the Father, it's declared as a position, as a standing. He doesn't say you are becoming salt. He doesn't say you were salt. He says you are. You are. It's a state of being. It's declared by God that you are salt. You are the salt. If you're saved, you are the salt of the earth. Mark 9:50 says, have salt in yourself, be at peace with one another. If we walk by the Spirit of God, if we are walking, now that we are saved, walking in the Spirit, walking as Jesus walked, following in His footsteps, we should be asking of Him for more salt, more purity, more of His concentrated substance that He calls salt, that He calls this precious commodity. We should be asking, as the hymn writer says, oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer. The Bible says that we should ask for the Spirit to fill us and ongoingly be filled with the Spirit. It's a command to be filled with the Spirit of God, to ask God to pour more of Himself and His life into us so that we're shaped into His image and character after we have been saved. That our cup would overflow. Oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as Thou art, holy and pure as He is. And so we have this standing. We are called salt, and now we desire more of Christ, more of Him, more to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer. And as I said, because God declares it as a state of being, we have to understand that. That because in our minds we continually come back to a works-based mentality. I don't know about you, but in the flesh of man, we continually come back to a works-based mentality. We fight this mindset until the mind of Christ be formed in us. We're constantly thinking about doing, whereas we should be more concentrated on being. Being what God has declared us to be and knowing. Knowing Him. Because all works flow out of being and out of knowing Him. Not the other way around. Not the cart before the horse. That's why Jesus declares us salt. You are being. You are a being. You are being made something that is new, something that is precious. Everything flows from this understanding of this position that we are in Christ, that we are the real deal, that we are true salt. So God calls us true salt. And secondly, point two, God, He cannot create fake salt. And God does not and cannot create false salt. The Bible says that salt is the seasoning, and you don't season salt with salt, friends. If salt loses its savour, salt loses its seasoning and its dynamism and what it is, you don't, for example, put salt, if you're putting salt on your egg, and the product you're using that looks like salt may even smell like salt, but when you have applied it, it doesn't perform the function of salt, then it's useless. And you don't put salt and top up that bad stuff with the true stuff. No, you throw out the old stuff. You don't season a seasoning with more seasoning. You throw out the bad. It's an important note here that historically there was much salt in Palestine, and you can find a lot on the shores of the Dead Sea, but you can also find contamination in the salt. With a product which is gypsum, I believe. And I think they sell it at Bunnings these days to break up clay. And it's also used in chalk and in your blackboards and gyprock. So there's this product that looks like the real deal, but salt was intermingled with this bad stuff that you wouldn't put on your egg called gypsum. You ever seen those white chalkboards in those blackboards and those nice fresh sticks of chalk in school? They look so good in the packet, but if you ever tried one as a kid, they don't taste as good as a musk stick. They don't taste as good, even though they look good. It leaves a bad flavour in your mouth. Well, that's gypsum. And so salt was When a batch of salt that looked like salt would find its way into a household, and they found that this gypsum is intermingled through the real stuff, they wouldn't try and sift it out. You couldn't. They threw it all out. It was all good for nothing. And interestingly, it was thrown and trodden underfoot. And you know that's still done today. If you've been to a country where it snows often, they mix sand and salt, don't they? And they throw that onto the road and the footpath for traction. So they throw it out and it's used today. But it's not fit for its original purpose. It's not for eating. If something's been contaminated, it doesn't have the value it used to have. You can't trade in a false product. It's not the real deal. And so the Word of God is telling us that if you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it then be seasoned? It is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. It's not the real deal. God doesn't create fake salt. You know, many lives today appear to be like salt, but all they are is a tack on of good works onto an old and dead vessel. And it's not the real deal. Jesus Christ has come not to add to our stinking corpse, if I could put it bluntly. He has come to give us life, and life more abundantly, and life freely, and true life. Remember Lot's wife who had a divided heart. What did she turn into? A useless pillar of salt. A useless pillar of salt. Remember Sodom's sin was a fullness of bread. They didn't know what to do with themselves. They didn't know what to do with themselves. There was such prosperity. There was such prosperity. They didn't know what other sin they could invent. All of men's hearts were set on the imagination of evil. And look at Lot's wife. She appeared to be going along with her husband and family, but obviously her heart was not in God. Her heart was in the world. And the testament to that is that she turned back. She turned back. She looked back to the homes and the comforts and the pleasures. Here they are escaping into the wilderness to preserve life. But she looks at the comforts and the pleasures of sin for a season. Friends, the true church is in the world, but not of it. The true church is in this world, but it's not of it. Jesus declared us to be the salt of the earth. We are in the world, we're not of it. Friends, the Bible says, come out from them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and I will receive you. Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Wouldn't it be better to be with God in the wilderness than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season in comfort? I would better be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Come out from among them. If you're mixing this world and sin with some form of Christianity, that's not the real deal. Come out and be separate, says the Lord. Just as salt is pure, salt is dynamic, salt is holy. Come out. Come out from among them. And if you are His, and if you have come out from among them, don't allow the world back into your Christian life to corrupt you. Don't allow the world. Don't allow sin. Don't allow the distractions to come in. Don't allow the gypsum to come in and spoil the purity of the salt that God has made you. Cut it out. If your right hand offend thee, cut it off. If your eye offend you, pluck it out. That's as far, that's as drastic a measure we must take so that we're not controlled in our Christian lives by this world, by this society. The entertainment, the shows, the music, the sports, the idols. Any good thing that takes up too much of your time. any good thing, pursuit or hobby or interest that fills your mind is dangerous. Get back to the salt of the Word. Get back to the reality of the dynamic substance of truth. Let the Word of God fill your heart. Let praise come forth from your lips. Better it is to be in the wilderness with God than to enjoy and intermingle sin and pleasure for a season. Better it is to be dependent in the wilderness on God than to allow this world to corrupt that good work which He started in you. But He'll bring it to an end. If there's something that's corrupting you, deal with it. Be drastic. If your TV set is corrupting you, throw it out. Put it in your Wednesday night recycling bin. Put it out. If you're surfing on good things on the internet, but it's taking up a lot of your time, cut it out. Go back to dial-up internet. Cut off your broadband so you can email and use it for other purposes. I don't know what it's going to take, but cut yourself off from this world. Whatever you have, whatever means possible, come out and be ye separate, says the Lord. Lot was dragged out, wasn't he, by the scuff of his neck. And God sometimes has to do that with us. Drags us out. Friends, the Lord God does not tempt us. The Lord God does not tempt us. We sin when we are drawn away by our own lusts. The Lord God does not tempt us. All that is from Him is true, it's real, and it's life-giving. But we are drawn away, the Bible says, by our own lusts. And you know what lust does? It brings forth sin. And when we give into that sin, the end of that is death. The end of that is spiritual death. It's a high price. God, He doesn't create fake salt. If you are His, if you are true, come out and be separate. Number three, the true gospel is salty. If you are His, if you're cutting away, if you're spending time in God's Word, you'll preach a true gospel. You will not be afraid of men. You don't go out of your way to offend them, but if you're the salt, by virtue of what you are, you will offend them. You will offend the flesh. And that's a good thing. Because you don't tack on to the flesh good works. That's what religiousness does. And that's what's corrupted so many in Christendom. It's a tacking on to a dead old man. A measure of works. No, friends, the truth stings. It's dynamic. It's real. Aren't you glad that someone came to you or that you sat in a gospel message and you heard the true gospel? You didn't hear seven steps to a better you. You didn't hear have your best Friday now or whatever. No, no tacking on to the old man, but you heard a message or you were shared a message that said, you must die to your old man. Behold, Jesus comes and He makes all things new. This is the reason why this precious gospel is separate from any other message this world has to offer. Because it's the real deal. It's the real deal, friends. Better a little bit of Dettol in the wounds than gangrene corrupting your whole being. Friends, the truth is dynamic, it's vigorous, it has to be effective. Yes, we speak with grace. Yes, we speak in love. Yes, we speak to win the other one. But we don't water down the message of the gospel. The true gospel is salty. 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." You, if you've door knocked for any amount of time, or if you've gone to your community for any amount of time, or if you've preached to people for any amount of time, or you've gone to your friends or your neighbors or family, you'll see this in operation. To the one, verse 16 says, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? God knows. God knows. The results are up to Him. But we are to go and preach a true and salty message. We are a fragrance to those who we are around. To some, the aroma of death leading to death. To some, the aroma of life leading to life. Our responsibility is to be true salt and preach a true, salty, saving message. Yes, people might get irate. Yes, it might rub people up the wrong way. But better for them to hear the message and be pricked in their heart than to go away with an enticing fleshly message that cannot save. An enticing fleshly message that just appeals to the emotions or the desires or the pleasures of men. And if you've been to the conference, you know, you've heard Justin Peters speaking on those two main aspects whereby false teachers operate in. You know, the healthy, wealthy and wise gospel. Come to Jesus to be rich, come to Jesus to be healthy. Friends, that is not the gospel. That is not the word of God. You cannot be saved through such a gospel. You cannot be saved through such a gospel. Think of all the false conversions in Christendom today. Think of all the false conversions, just vain repetitions of the flesh. Friends, people are being sold gypsum by false prophets. They're being sold this product that looks like salt by false prophets, and they're paying, you know what, the highest absolute price that you can ever pay. The eternity of their souls. The eternity of their souls. That's why, praise God for the true gospel, and not just for preachers, not just for pastors or teachers, but to everyone who is salt, to everyone who's been born again. We're called to preach a message, whether it's to your child, to your parent, to a sibling, to your workmate, student, whoever it might be. We're to be salt. We're to speak the truth in love. The truth in love. I was blessed by Oswald Chambers when he wrote, "You are the salt of the earth," quoting Oswald Chambers. But some modern teachers seem to think that our Lord said, "You are the sugar of the earth," meaning that some gentleness and charm without the cure is the ideal of the Christian. Our Lord's illustration of a Christian is salt, and salt is the most concentrated thing known. Salt preserves wholesomeness and prevents decay. It is a disadvantage to be salt. Think of the action of salt on a wound, and you will realize this. If you get salt into a wound, it hurts. And when God's children are amongst people who are raw towards God, their presence hurts. The Christian's presence. The person who is wrong with God, in wrong standing with God, is like an open wound. And when salt gets in, it causes annoyance and distress, and the person is spiteful and bitter. The disciples of Jesus in the present dispensation preserve society from corruption. The salt causes excessive irritation, which spells persecution for the saint. That's from studies in the Sermon on the Mount. Friends, we are called to preach a salty, saving gospel, a stinging, life-transforming word of truth. Number four, God will test true believers. If you're His, He will test true believers, making sure they are the real deal. If you're His, He'll make sure you're the real deal. Jesus said to everyone who walks godly, they will be tried. To everyone who is godly, 2 Timothy 3:11, Paul writes, when talking of his persecutions and afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Some may. No, all will. To a level, all will. It might be rejection by your family. May not be imprisonment. It might be rejection by your workmates. But all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, all who desire to live as the salt that they've been called to be, that they've been called into being, will suffer a measure of persecution. And interestingly, verse 13 says, but evil men and imposters, the gypsum sellers, will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Not only are they not saved, the gypsum sellers, peddling their merchandise, they're themselves not saved, they're themselves deceived, and they are deceiving others. The fake ones continue on their way, looking like salt, but being deceived. But the true ones will continue to be tested. And this is another measure of the true salt, is that you'll continue through testing. And no one wants that. No one wants tribulation or trial. But we all want Christ. We all want more of Jesus. The Spirit of God yearns for more of Jesus. Mark 9:49, for everyone will be seasoned with fire and every sacrifice seasoned with salt. So God will continue to test true believers. And number five, Christians are a preserving influence in the world. The church of God is a preserving influence in the world. Remember that God even offered to spare all of Sodom for the sake of 10 righteous people. Not even 10 could be found. God offered to spare. There was a preserving influence of that little bit of salt. The true ones. But not even that many could be found. Friends, Christians are a preserving influence in the world. Christians hinder moral and spiritual decay, but we see, friends, the decay is getting very, very deep. The decay is growing by the week. The persecution against Christians for standing up for biblical things can only increase until the coming day of the Lord. Because the world is hell-bent on evil. And you know, when the church is taken out of the world at the rapture, Satan's perverse and wicked power is going to be unleashed in an unprecedented way without the preserving influence of the church. 2 Thessalonians 2:7 says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Lawlessness. People say they have a law. What law? What law? When men change the laws to suit themselves and to suit their flesh. This society is not built on God's laws. Friends, men are modifying the law of God. Yes, we treat murder as sin, but we no longer treat homosexuality as sin. You see how men corrupt the pure law and pure word of God. And it's a mystery of lawlessness. And it's at work. And he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Friends, how critical it is to be salt, an uncorrupted salt, so that you can preach a clear, salty, saving gospel message and not be consumed by the influence of the mystery of lawlessness which is at work right now. What a fearful thing. They didn't receive the love of the truth. And for this reason, God gave them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. And they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Friends, there is a time coming where God's people will be taken out of the way. They'll be taken out of the way and evil will go wild on this earth without the preserving influence of the church. The world descends to the very pits of hellishness. Daniel 9:27, Revelation 6:19. Brethren, as God's children and as temples of the Holy Spirit, we represent Christ. We represent God's presence in this world. Jesus said, "You are the salt of what? Of the earth. You're the ones here. I'm the one here. We are the ones here standing as His holy people. We are salt that is preventing the entire earth from complete degeneration even faster than it is. But it is happening. But there comes a day. There comes a day where the true is separated from the false. There comes a day where the tares and the wheat are separated. The sheep and the goats are separated. There comes a day. How is God speaking to you through this text? How has God spoken to you through this text? Are you His? Are any among you? Are any among us who are not true salt? Who haven't been born again of the Spirit of God? Who have been tacking on good works unto a corrupt old vessel? Come to Christ and be saved. Come to Christ and be made new. He will not add anything to your corrupt state. He will put to death your corrupt state and give you true light, true holiness. He will make you His true salt. Are there others who have been contaminated by gypsum? Possibly the gypsum of false teaching, of a misunderstanding of God, of a misunderstanding of His attributes. Seek God. Seek God. He will reveal Himself more clearly as He illumines this word to your heart. Are there those who need to repent of spending so much time in earthly pursuits that their mind is filled with other things and not the things of God? Cast out the false from the true. Cut out that which is contaminating you. It was said of Robert Murray McChane, have you ever read of his writings? A godly Scottish minister of the last century. You know, it was said of him that his face carried such a hallowed expression that just in his presence by this man of God who beamed because he spent time with God, that people were known to fall on their knees and accept Jesus Christ as Savior from sin just by looking at Him, by being in His presence. Testimonies of men and women and children who gave themselves to Jesus Christ when they saw a man without contamination. Is that our desire? That is the kind of salt God wants us to be. The only way is to be shut in with God. Remove the contamination from the heart and let the Lord have His way in you. Have thine own way, O Lord, is the hymn for the Lord's table, hymn 388.